All right, when you hear that song, when you hear that melody, you need to know that the kinetic energy and the prince of all airwaves, the prince in all airwaves, and the only reliable kinetic energy in town is around. So, and this is Realm of the Historics, one of the most powerful shows on Eagle FM, one of the, you know, oldest and the most powerful shows on Eagle FM, where we will try to bring those most dramatic figures in the political world. And I have started. So I've been preparing myself. I wanted to hear the drama fest manifold itself by on its own. And then I take advantage of it, and now I got it by its wings. And our guest this week is going to be none other than Michael Amshelelo. We just want to know what he smokes and he drinks. We just want to know, the people just want to know, even myself, what Michael Amshelelo smokes and drinks.
Well, I smoke basically two elements.
Mm-hmm.
One being oxygen.
Okay.
And then the other one being hydrogen, because when you combine the two, then that becomes water.
H2O.
So oxygen and water basically are my two drugs of choice that I love consuming.
But the activity behind your actions, they don't convince me to say that they are water driven.
No, but that's because obviously you who understands kinetic energy, you would realize that if the hydrogen elements are split, it becomes a hydrogen bomb. So I think one would obviously need to give a lesson in physics as to obviously understand the molecular process that goes into what happens in my body after I've consumed those two elements.
You are good at manipulating conversations with those terminologies of yours, and thinking that you are trying to teach me some chemistry here. But so you want to tell me that there is a chemical reaction that occurs after you drink water?
Precisely. Obviously, to the naked eye, you are unable to see what truly happens. But for some of those of us who are in tune with what happens to our body, we obviously understand the process and the behavior that comes as a result of after having consumed or smoked those two elements.
Okay, before we build up, because I want to make a build up, because everything about you, people think they know you, but let me pretend as if I don't know you at all, because I don't think what I know is correct.
No, everybody thinks they know anything and everything. And unfortunately, that's the biggest mistakes that we often make as human beings. I think in this particular life, I've learned that I've known nothing. And I've also learned that some people think they know who Amshelelo is. Some people assume. Some people obviously thumbsuck. But obviously, we all have different dynamics and we are all known for a particular thing. I mean, people don't know Franz. They just hear his voice. They don't know the person sometimes behind the mic. So I think that's the dynamics of life, where we all have the ability to just know something face value.
Yeah. Okay. So having said that, I want us to start make a build up. I don't know whether it is a traumatic political journey that we want to understand today, because nobody really know where, you know, Amshelelo started from. They only started to see him when he, you know, in a drama with Namra, Ministry of Labor there, here and there, shops, Chinese shops, and all that. Let's start from 2014. You guys were a team of young people.
No, I think 2014 would be rather too soon.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take it a step back, at least 2008, 2009.
Okay.
I think that's where one would be able to draw a proper picture.
2009, yes. I was lost in my own world. I used to follow politics, but not, you know, sarcastically as I do now. So I wouldn't know. And also 2009, things were quiet. You guys were afraid by that time.
Not necessarily. So perhaps to draw you a proper picture so that people can understand my thinking and from where it is that I come from. So 2009, we have the National Assembly election, as well as the presidential elections.
Yes.
Now, President Pohamba was running for his second term.
Mm.
And this was with the emergence of the Rally for Democracy and Progress, RDP.
Yeah.
And obviously, these two political parties at the time were the biggest or major. At least major.
They were the major ones.
They were the major ones. They were the ones making the headwaves. Obviously, RDP being led by the late Hidipo Hamtenya. Now, at the time, I had just gotten out of high school the previous year. And as a young person, I always knew that I only had two career choices. One was either to become a prominent businessman, or one was to obviously become a leader in society.
Mm.
Now, at the time, I then chose politics. So I joined the SWAPO party. At the time, I was based in Samora Machel. So I joined the SWAPO party. I rose through the ranks as quickly as possible. Eventually, I ended up also joining the SWAPO party youth league. And obviously, we were some of the people that were influential in campaigning, at the time for the party to win its 2009 elections. Now, one of the things that I realized immediately after the elections was that some of us who are considered ground forces or soldiers who run around canvassing people for votes, we are the ones who make sure that the venue is set. When those prominent figures in the party come, everything has already been done for them. Now, immediately after the elections, when you call some of those comrades is like they develop amnesia. They're like, who's this one? I know it's Comrade Amshelelo. From where? I know I'm from Samora Machel. Comrade, I was the one. It's like they don't know you anymore.
You try to introduce yourself.
You try to introduce yourself to people you've already introduced yourself.
While you were trying to, you were even risking crocodile, wanting to cross the Kavango River on foot, or wanting to cross the Impalila, into the Chove River, the other side into Impalila to make the ground set for these comrades. And now, so, in fact, you are transformed immediately from being a foot soldier to a foot soldier.
Precisely. So immediately when I saw this,
Chinekeme,
I was like, wait a second, man. If these comrades can forget us who have been on a day-to-day basis with them, what about the poor messes that they just delivered these speeches to? And the speeches are always lovely speeches. In fact, some of us got caught up with these speeches. We started to think, maybe this time around things are going to be different. But immediately what I saw there is that these speeches were just rhetoric. Mm. They had no meaning. They had no particular purpose. They were basically just engineered so that they are slogans to obviously try and lure the masses to vote for that particular party. And then that's when I started realizing to say, no, man. You know what? I'm going to take a step back from politics. And then I started to venture basically into entrepreneurship because I realized, no, this politics I don't want to be involved with because me and Lice, we don't go together. And that is when I started slowly but surely distancing myself from politics.
Okay. You don't go together with somebody's lies except your own.
No. That's the problem. I'm allergic to lies, even my own. That's why when ladies always try and tell me that, Michael, you're handsome, I say, you are lying to me. Just say exactly, perhaps my money looks nice, perhaps the car I'm driving is nice, but if you are saying me, myself, I'm good looking, then you are lying to me.
Okay. So, now, Mike, 2009 is fine. That was the first, that was your first, you obeyed the force of the what I call, you know, political force of gravity, firsthand. You experienced it by an embarrassing, impression that you got from the from the aftermath of the elections.
Yes.
We get into the second embarrassment. That was 2014, mm-hmm. when you guys were expelled. No, 2015, I think, when you expelled. Were you part of the people that were expelled from the SWAPO Youth League?
No, at the time I had my membership as a Youth League member and also as a member of the ruling party. However, because I had taken a back seat, I was no longer as active as the comrades that eventually got expelled.
Okay.
But because I, for one, am sympathetic to injustice, what I saw happening to those comrades, especially Elia Ngurare, Job Ampanda, George Kambala, Dimblukeni Naoyoma, I said to myself, this is an injustice. We cannot be told that the SWAPO Party Youth League is the vanguard and it is the one that must obviously hold the top leadership accountable. But yet when young people at the time were calling for things such as housing prices and land prices to be regulated and for things just to be done in a just manner, these young people were expelled, and I felt to say that I must stand with them, because if they are being expelled for standing with the truth, tomorrow when I also speak truth, I might equally be expelled for speaking the same truth that my comrades were speaking.
But you young people are ignorant of the fact that you are whipping elders with you. You want to embarrass the elders by telling them to bring down the land prices when you were not present in the Lancaster House.
No, we were not embarrassing them or anything of the sort.
But you are forcing them to do exactly what they were told not to do in the Lancaster House agreement.
At the time, some of us obviously did not understand politics as we understand it now. All we saw is to say, no, comrades, when we joined SWAPO, we joined it because of its ideology. The ideology was to say that we are going to free Namibia. Once Namibia is free, we will all be able to enjoy the fruits of our country. Eventually, a few started enjoying the fruits, but the majority were not able to enjoy the fruits. And then when some of the comrades started questioning these things, they were obviously met with dismissal. And unfortunately, it was not to say we were embarrassing anyone. All we were trying to say is we were trying to hold these comrades accountable to say, colleagues, what you have promised the masses and the reality is far from each other. Can we perhaps start to practice what we preach?
Yeah, but you young people at the same time don't understand the fact that fruit don't fall far from the tree. So if you are far from the tree, how will you eat the fruit?
No, what we understood is to say that it is the responsibility of those close to the tree to distribute the food to those who are further from the tree. However, what we have realized is that they have started to fence off the tree. The tree even now has security guards. It has CCTV cameras. It has literally barricades where you must first go through the one door, then you must get through the other door, where it is all access controlled. So when we saw that there's so much red tape for an ordinary citizen to benefit from what is naturally entitled to them, we felt that this fence either must be cut down, or those who are close to the tree must open the doors.
But there are people from that are close from the are close the, are near the tree that could only smell the fruit, and now they are also suffering from political kwashioka. In the same political kwashioka that makes mass creation of political formations.
Not necessarily. I think what must be understood is to say that at some point, if you are in a house, whether it's your mother's house or your father's house, but for some reason your parents are no longer living up to their own ideals and to their own values, then I think it is not wrong for you to want to leave your parents' house and go start your own house, because the ideals are no longer conforming to your moral values and to the principles that you subscribe to.
Okay. That's fair enough, but then when you start your own house, at the end of the day, somebody is going to move out of your house and start their own house, and then you hate those people who moved out, you hate where you are coming from, and then it becomes a problem.
No. It must be understood. I, for one, do not hate and hate is something that I do not carry. That is why people often look at me and say, but this particular individual wanted to harm me. Why are you still laughing with them? Or why do you still interact with them? It's because some of us do not carry hate. And we understand that hate is like drinking poison. You are the only one who eventually ends up dying from that particular hate. So what I personally believe is that as individuals in society, you should never, because of fear of being told that you are different or that you should subscribe to what is currently the norm, you should not then be scared to take your own path. So if people, we start our formations and people feel that we are no longer living up to the ideals of when we started those formations, they are more than freely welcome to join or start their own movements. And I think that is the beauty of our constitution, under Article 17, which gives us that enshrined right for us to be able to start as many political formations as we wish and choose.
Okay. So, fast forward. Not really that much fast forward, but a little bit faster. Let's move a little bit faster. You guys are the ones that gave, you know, led to GenGob winning overwhelming, you know, majority, let me say, votes in 2014 with 87%. Historically, very high. I think no president ever has reached to that point. Not even Sam Nujoma in 1989, not even 1994 or 1999, not even Hifikepunye Pohamba in his second term. So you, again, was part of that.
Yeah, no, we were part of that. And that is because at the time, perhaps because we were naive,
You were not naive.
No.
You wanted to heal from the first experience.
Not necessarily that we wanted to heal or anything of the sort. Obviously, we finally had an individual who was speaking a different tune.
Mm-hmm.
And also the fact that he was not from the tribes that we had commonly gotten used to ruling the country.
Mm.
So we decided to say, no, let us give this particular comrade the necessary support. And then let us obviously see what happens during his tenure. And that is why you'll see during his first term.
Okay, let's
go for a commercial break.
Yeah.
Why pay more when you can pay less at USafe stores? Enjoy nutritious and delicious meals for the whole family. 4 kilogram of real good frozen and mixed chicken portions for only $199.99. 5 kilos of Polana pasta, just $129.99. 500 grams Romy 37% fat spread, just $13.99. 700 milliliter crystal gold tomato sauce, just $24.99. USafe, where good food costs less.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu omafilane Eagle FM.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
All right, we are back without wasting time. Today's today, we are with the man himself. So you wanted to give GenGob a different vibe, different from what you gave to anybody else, thinking that you are going to be, you are no longer going to be food soldiers after that.
Yeah, so that's precisely what happened. And the results will speak for themselves. I think the country was in a euphoria.
Yeah.
Everyone obviously wanted a new president. Everyone obviously had high hopes that things are going to be different. And then obviously the late Gengob had his first term. During his first term, immediately he experienced some clashes, especially when we, the young people at the time, were threatening to say that we'll occupy the land across the country, across its entire breadth, if obviously certain demands were not met. We at the time went to State House. Obviously, agreements were signed. Some of these agreements led to a few areas being serviced, a few obviously not being. But unfortunately, that is politics. We realized at the time to say that this thing is no longer working. Obviously, we decided and felt that something else needs to be done. Now, at the time, I took a hands-off approach in terms of politics because I was an entrepreneur and I love entrepreneurship. So what I did is I just supported the movements with the financial means so that in the event that these young people needed to travel, we needed T-shirts and things of that sort, that was my role in the movement.
So what is that movement?
The movement was the affirmative repositioning movement.
Okay, so AR.
AR, yes.
That was born around 2015.
It was born 2014 November. That's when AR was born.
Yeah, but the popularity of it started in 2015.
Yeah, the popularity started picking up obviously early 2015 because that's when we were threatening the mass land occupation.
Exactly. But somebody saying, were you not captured by some few cliques in the SWAPO movement that you you know publicly condemned, but secretly got infused by one or two bunch of cash to go on because it was enjoyed by a certain clique in SWAPO that never liked the clique that it was in power?
No, absolutely not. I think one would be wrong to say that we, the young people at the time, were being influenced by a third force or particular individuals. I think we did this out of our own conscience, where we realized as young people, because we're also growing old, and we realized rent was expensive, land prices were ridiculous, and they still continue to be. The average Namibian is unable to afford a property. And this is due to the fact that the prices are just ridiculous. Now, the beauty with reality is that no one needs to influence you. If you go now into a shop and you realize that $1,000 is no longer able to purchase anything of significance, you don't need someone to influence you to say, "Chief, things have become expensive." Mm. Your lived reality explains some of these things to you. So it was our lived realities that made us realize that we must be able to do something, and we must be able to obviously start championing some of these issues so that these issues can come to the fore and so that something can be done about these particular issues that we were facing as young people.
Okay, but one of you confessed that you got secretly some money from certain people in SWAPO.
Well, then it was that particular individual that then perhaps was the one who was being used.
But since you were outside, you were also infusing. That does not prevent others from doing the same.
No, but that's why I'm saying if those ones that confessed that they were the ones that were being bribed, then they should be the ones to answer for their crimes or to answer for their actions.
It is not a bribe. It's a secret infusion, a secret injection of of money for you guys to be able to do what you were doing because everybody liked it, seems, in terms of because SWAPO was suffering from its own, political
infights,
mm-hmm. and somebody wanted to use you guys as a fiber optic cable that brings some chaos here and there. that, you know, that appeals to a certain clique. So if somebody comes in and, you know, and inject money, you know, secretly, how is that bribe?
No, no. Now, whether it was now bribe or someone secretly injecting certain monies or whatever the case is, some of us did not join the movement because we secretly wanted to disrupt government or cause havoc or anything of the sort. We joined the movement because of the ideology which it stood for. Okay. And I think it must be understood, the word affirmative repositioning, that simply means that we were now going to affirm and repossess what belongs to us. And what is it that belongs to us? It was the land. The land was once upon a time stolen from us. And that is what we basically wanted to restore and affirmatively repossess it. So it must be understood that if there were those individuals who had ulterior motives, then those individuals obviously then had known their own ulterior motives. But we joined the movement because of its ideology. We supported the movement because we historically understand the importance of land. And we obviously are led by our conscience to say that we want this particular thing to be restored back to its rightful owners.
Okay, so whether you achieved that or not, that's another story.
Obviously, that's a story for another day. And obviously, like we've said, we have been able to achieve massive success with the affirmative repositioning movement. And we have led to so many policy changes. And obviously, the movement has done what it could. And I'm very happy to have been part of that movement.
Okay, so now what brought, there was a serious karatagoma that made you get out of the movement.
So it's 2018, and I'm advising the founders of the movement, mainly Job Ampanda, Dimblukeni Naoyoma, and George Kambala, to say, colleagues, we have done enough protests. We have been on the ground, and I think it is time for us to consider perhaps converting this movement into a political organization so that we can be able to contest for next year's upcoming elections, and so that we can obviously be able to go to the chambers, which is the National Assembly, for us as young people to go and start championing laws that can obviously be to the benefit of our people. However, realizing that the founders were hesitant to register the movement as a political organization, I then took it upon myself to say that let us register a political party in order for us to contest in this politics. Because in as much as we want to continue to criticize what is not being done well, for as long as you remain a spectator and you do not join the field to become a soccer player, you will always just be a spectator, screaming, making noise, criticizing, and doing all those things. But however, as a spectator, if you are not in the field, you will not be able to defend, you will neither be able to advance or to score. So that is why I said it's time for us as young people to enter the political arena. And then 2018, I started dingling with the idea of forming a political organization called POWER. Now, POWER basically stood for People Organized Working Towards Economic Reality. That's the acronym for POWER. And in 2019, we started putting up billboards across the country. The billboards, for those who remember, were red with yellow writings. And most of them had slogans like power to the people and all this sorts of slogans. Now, unfortunately, we were unable to register the political organization. And that is basically where
you
that
were
ended.
Unable to get people?
Not necessarily that we were unable to get people.
What was the problem?
The problem was, number one, I was a business person. I had no interest in politics. However, I felt that there must be a vehicle, an alternative vehicle, So unfortunately, the people perhaps I put to run or sort of be able to run this thing for me were unable to be successful.
Yeah.
And as a result of it, it failed to materialize. And that unfortunately became the end of that particular project that I'd started.
All right. So after a short break, after a short musical break, we are coming to talk about your involvement.
Awesome.
In the independence candidate, and again the karatagoma that ensued immediately after that, that led you, you know, I think you went back to being a political foot soldier. So we are going to talk about that after a short musical break. Please don't go away. Today is today. Shelelo needs to define, he needs to go deeper in telling us what he smokes. And today is today.
Thank you.
We are now back, you know, back. Now we talk about 2019, because, you know, it seems, okay, let's go back to 2017. Where were you when a political diarrhea, you know, ensued in SWAPO that gave birth to, you know, Team SWAPO and Team Harambe?
No, at the time, I was pretty much focused on my entrepreneurship. I wasn't focusing much on the internal politics. When Team SWAPO and Team Harambe and all those things were ensuing, I said to myself, you know what, for now, focus on business. try and get the necessary financial muscles, because I understood that there's importance to having money, because when you have money as an individual, you have leverage that others do not have. You can't easily be persuaded to either be on this side or on that side. You are basically persuaded by your own conviction, your own principles, and you are able to make your choices freely. And I understood this, and that is why at the time when all this political quagmire was ensuing, I decided to say, here, I'm not going to take sides. I'd rather focus on my businesses, grow myself as an individual, and also just find my own footing in society. Because at the time, I realized to say the political arena was too saturated. There were too many players. And I said to myself, you know what? This political field at this current moment, it's not the right place for me. And in fact, I never wanted to be in politics. All I ever wanted to do was to be able to have enough money to influence politics. And because it must be understood that when you have money, you have influence. You are able to dictate where certain investment priority areas should be. You are able also as an individual to not complain too much, because let's say a school approaches you and this particular school needs funding to build a classroom or whatever. You don't need to complain. You simply write a check, or because that time some of us come from the era of checkbooks, you can write a check to this particular school, and then this school is able to build this particular classroom, or it's able to fund whatever it is that it needs to fund. If there's a community without water, instead of complaining, all you do is you get drill specialist, they drill a borehole, and you are able to fund some of these things. So I understood to say that let me have the means in order for me as a private citizen to be able to do also certain things without necessarily relying on government or on a particular individual or a particular messiah to come and save my country.
Okay. Fair enough. Let me pretend to believe that. But now, were you not, because you are fruit from one of the branches in a tree called Swapo, were you not hopeful at least that your mother, who is Swapo, gets in order? Because, you know, your mother can be how chaotic. She's still your mother.
No, there comes a point in time where you are unable to save your mother, especially when she's become addicted to drugs, alcohol, and your mother no longer sees her value in herself as a mother. Every day she has a new man. Every day you are being introduced to this new uncle. So there comes a point where you sort of
withdraw.
In as much as you want to save your mother is at the point of no return, especially when she starts using needles and all of these things. So that is what had happened to the party. It became so corrupt. It became so distanced with the masses that there was absolutely nothing that you could do to try and save it in order for it to get back in the right direction. And it seems to me every time you give it a chance, it's just like a drug addict that you give an opportunity to say, here is my phone, I'm quickly going to the bathroom. Mm. The moment you come back, he's gone. He went to go sell your phone for 200 just in order for him to get a fix. So that is the point where things had gotten to, where it's unfortunately we call a point of no return.
But you admit in all that chaos, in all that karatagoma, that you still admit she's your mother, right?
No, she's still your mother. Okay. Unfortunately, you can't deny biology.
Mm-hmm.
Your DNA, one way or another, would still be able to have some sort of remembrance to her. But
yeah.
I think what is important then is that you move away from the ideology of your mother,
mm-hmm.
because you yourself do not want to become an addict. You do not want to become an alcoholist.
As long as you know, you are the 23 chromosomes from her.
Precisely.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Yes.
Now, that's fair enough. So let's get into the 2019 political character Goma again.
Yes.
You know, an emergency of a new phenomenon, which mm-hmm. is an independent
candidate. Yes.
You know, so what, in which state did that, you know, leave you?
No.
Where were you? I mean, which, let me say, which cliff were you standing on?
No, 2019, like I said, I attempted to start my own political party
mm-hmm.
because sitting on the sidelines and hoping for things to change, I realized it's not going to work.
Okay.
And that is why then through the funding that I had, I decided to say, let's start a political party in order for us to be able to send representatives who are going to champion issues that are dear to us, which is economic freedom.
So the party died, and whoever you gave the money to run around, you just went to KFC.
I could not say now whether they went to KFC or whatever the case is, but unfortunately things did not materialize. However, at the time we were willing to support anyone, but apart from the ruling party.
Okay, so you engineered an idea to inject the independent candidate.
No. I never engineered any thoughts into anyone. People read the constitution. People understand it. People exercise their constitutional rights. So I don't think there was anything wrong with that. I think the problem in our society is that many of us do not even know our basic rights. If you are to ask someone right now to say, did you know that in the constitution there are chapters? Someone will say, what? There are chapters in the constitution? Yes. Or I only thought they were articles. No, those articles that you get are in certain chapters. So it just tells you that in terms of our civic duty as a country, less is being done to ensure...
We come back.
Ekwashilipale kolo maruendo paiwano kupitila mo NHP. O atupatele komesho ekwashilipale kolo afika mafio pedola emiliona omlongo danamibia. Moshi joshe tukeshe kuyanja omakwafo unamiti enashane filo shisholo paulumo mumbu. Kwa aboveli ponje yoshilongo, shijoshi topo washo ijo yetu, tashiningwa inapawe bionando ishoshe layash. Opo umone ya kulolo polis mwule ominute dishona elela, lishangifako nhp.com.na. Omanga ino ya moruendo. Ponjeo Shilong, Emangono Malandula Fano, Odo Dino Kulandurwa. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
All right, we continue. Please go on.
No, so, as I'm saying, I think in this country, what needs to be done, especially with... state-owned bodies such as the National Youth Council, the National Youth Service, and things of this sort. They must have programs that run parallel to schooling programs where we are able to teach young Namibians from a very young age their political rights, their rights as citizens, and just for them to know the constitution so that when someone decides to say that I'm going to run as an independent candidate, it does not come as a new phenomena, but people know to say, this is actually my right. I mean, people don't even know for a fact that, let's say you are 25-year-old there sitting at home listening to me right now. Legally, should you decide to say you want to become president, you will still need 10 years in order for you to become president.
Yeah,
because the constitution says you can only become president when you're 35 years of age.
Yeah.
But young people won't challenge to say, but wait, the same constitution gives me a right to vote at 18. So if at 18, I am able to apply my mind to vote for someone, why is it that at 18, I'm also not able to participate in politics and also be able, because remember, only at 21, I think you are eligible to become a member of parliament. So there are certain things that are in the constitution that many people do not understand. And I think as a country, we must be able to start educating our people to know their fundamental rights. People always say, why is it that you are so fearless and you challenge systems? I challenge these systems because I've read the constitution, I've understood it, and I know when I'm challenging some of these things, it's because I'm doing it because I'm constitutionally protected to do so.
Yeah, but there is a difference between being fearless and being irresponsible or being reckless. Where do you draw the line?
I've never been irresponsible or mm-hmm. I've never been reckless mm-hmm. in all my doings.
Okay.
All I've done is I've just basically utilized my constitutional rights. Article 21 guarantees me the right to protest. For as long as that protest is peaceful, I do not bear any arms, I can basically protest. And that is what I've been doing. So when people say I'm being reckless or irresponsible, then blame it on the constitution, because it was the one that was reckless to give me those rights to be able to protest.
The constitution trusted your wisdom in interpreting the boundaries on how you exercise your rights.
But that is why I'm saying I exercise them within those very constitutional framework.
Okay. Fair enough. So let's speak now atheistically,
mm-hmm.
because atheism says, you know, there's nothing called morality,
mm-hmm.
Because apparently what is wrong to you may not be right, may not be wrong to the other person. So let's say, for example, what you are doing is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So what you are doing is wrong. You are causing havoc to my, you are causing havoc at my workplace.
Mm-hmm.
What will you say?
No, that is why certain matters are subject of relativity. And what matters is that when you are doing whatever it is that you are doing, for as long as it does not cause any physical harm to anyone, then I think the subjects of whether it is wrong or whether it is right or whether it is done in this particular manner or in this particular fashion, then I think those are debates that become irrelevant.
Okay.
But as you have said, obviously, for us to drink water is good. For the next person, it is bad. Smoking is considered good for others. Smoking is considered bad for others. So I think those subjects are subjects that we can debate on another day. But I think for today, we must continue
okay.
on the topic at hand.
Fair enough. Now, we are still on 2019.
Yes.
Did you make a donation to support the independent candidate against swap? Because your aim was fine. My own political party failed. Fine, now let me forget about it. But now, Did you get into a mode where you wanted to support somebody else but not SWAPO?
No, we supported everyone else but SWAPO. Mm-hmm. We ensured that those who needed assistance got the assistance. And the goal was pretty much clear, to say that this particular entity is now considered persona non grata.
Mm.
It has failed to deliver its mandate. At the time, we had given it enough terms in terms of years that it has been in governance. So we felt that it was time for change to come. And that is why some of us, and up until today, I'm unashamed and unapologetic to say that we have supported opposition parties in order for us to try and reduce the amount of seats, whether it was in parliament or whether it was at national, local, and regional councils. So we have done what it is that we could in order to ensure that there was no longer a one-party dominant system.
Okay, fine. But your support failed to yield, expected results, because you wanted to break SWAPO's backbone. But you got your ribs shattered when SWAPO kicked back, and both you and the independent candidate and the opposition obeyed the force of gravity?
No, unfortunately not. I mean, if you said it yourself, and I'm glad you said it in the beginning of the show, that the late Gengo got an overwhelming majority, one that was never seen. But we were able to reduce that 87%. I think this time around, he got in the 50s. I think that's the margin that he won with. So that obviously tells you that we were able to reduce it from a
87
to a
57.
Exactly. That so that's a 30% margin.
30%, okay.
So in the financial world where I come from, that's a big margin. That's the type of margins that it makes a difference between break-even points or making huge catastrophic losses. Okay. So obviously, we were able to achieve our goals.
You will have an upper hand there in the definitions of economics, because you know that I'm not an economics person. So I'll give you that. I'll give you that right for now.
No, that's not a problem. But in terms of what our objectives were, our objectives, they, in as much as we would not say we achieved them 100%, we were at least able to achieve them 30%, and it was a start, because as a result of that, things have not been the same. And we can even look at the past elections. You can clearly see that the trajectory is moving towards where SWAPO is going to lose its dominance in the near future.
Okay. That's debatable. I mean, looking at the behavior of the opposition, which you are part of, and we are coming to that, because it seems that everyone is trying to be important on their own. And this gives up a little bit of power and the time to, though, you know, they are losing here and there, but it gives them power to linger around, because you guys are disorganized among yourselves. Now, look at the 2020, local authority elections, where at least, you know, SWAPO was kicked out of City of Windhoek. And in fact, SWAPO obeyed force of gravity in the coastal areas, where they lost miserably. Now, but, you know, with that, that was a huge victory. But looking at what City of Windhoek was, chaotic as it was, under the so-called, you know, progressive force, which at the end of the day imploded in itself, because of different political ideology, everyone wants to shine. We could go 3 months, 4 months without a mayor. So that already shows you that, in as much as you guys are pragmatic as young people, I think you are so divided to the point that you don't understand what you are doing at the end of the day.
Not necessarily. Politics for me, I look at it just like any other contest. In the Premier League, you've got 16 teams all competing for one cup.
Yeah.
And they're all competing for supporters as well.
Yeah.
However, eventually one would always emerge victorious based on their strategies, based on their tactics, based on the finances that they have, and all of those things. And politics for me is the same thing. Now, what I'm foreseeing, and I'm no prophet, is to say that eventually there is going to come a leader that the people love so much that this particular leader is eventually going to almost break the records of the late Gengop or even come close somewhere today. Because I, for one, personally feel that...
So according to your prophetic insight, that leader will come from where?
No, this leader, unfortunately, will just have to come from...
The opposition?
Not the opposition, but he's going to be a Namibian.
Okay.
Irrespective of...
Okay.
That's one thing for sure.
Okay, there you are safe.
Yes.
There you are safe. Because if you are telling me... Okay, so in as much as we are speaking right now, there has never been a leader so loved by people that could break Gengo's record, not even in SWAPO, and not in the opposition yet.
Yes. But eventually there is going to emerge such a leader.
Okay.
And when that leader emerges, I, for one, could not care where this leader is going to come from.
Okay.
Whether it's in the opposition or whether it's in the ruling party.
Mm.
What I want is a leader so loved, but yet so genuine and committed to the cause of our people. Because some of us, we don't oppose for the sake because we want to oppose. We oppose because what is being done is wrong. And I, for one, would comfortably like to sit back and relax, knowing that our country is in safe hands. Because some of us, we are so patriotic that we are not going to sit around and watch our country being destroyed. Because once this country is destroyed, my children will not have a future where they're going to live. Their children will also not have a place to call home. And that is why some of us are going to continue jealously safeguarding this country, whether from foreign or domestic individuals or forces that wish to destroy it.
Okay. Everyone is listening. Now, in 2020 local election, you were out. You were not participant.
No, I participated.
As a voter, but not as a political person.
No, no, I stood to run as a councillor for the city of Windhoek.
As an independent candidate?
No, not as an independent candidate.
Under AR?
No, I stood as a Namibia Economic Freedom Fighter.
In 2020?
Yes, in 2020.
Okay.
No, not in 2020. Oh, we are in 2020.
Yeah, we are in
I thought you were speaking 2024.
Mm-hmm.
No, my apologies. No, in 2020, yes. Unfortunately, at the time, no. I still decided to say I'm going to financially back the AR.
Okay.
I gave them my financial backing. I also gave them my moral support.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, we had a printing company. Our printing company did most of the printing for things such as banners and whatever it is that they needed materially to obviously be able to become members of council in the city of Windhoek.
Okay, so you didn't renounce AR publicly by 2020. You were still part of them and sympathetically, you know, in tuned with them.
Yes.
Okay, so what happened that led you leave AR? What was that Karatagoma? And before you go there, you as AR, there was another Karatagoma between AR and Itula by that time,
mm-hmm.
and to the point that you even started to tell him that you found him in a donkey and you gave him a Mercedes-Benz. And to the point that you started claiming that if it was not for you, Itula would have gone nowhere. Now, whether that is true or not, that's up to the hearers to make a judgment. So what happened?
Okay, so I'll speak in my personal capacity. I cannot speak for others who said that Itula was on a donkey and they provided him with the necessary machinery or anything of that sort.
Okay, so in other words, you don't agree with that?
No. You see, the one thing that I never agree with is the politics of degrading another.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, as I grow older,
yeah,
I'm starting to realize that we must be able to be mature with one another.
Exactly.
I don't foresee a future where we as Namibians are able to live one another if we constantly are destroying each other.
Mm.
We cannot be our biggest enemies. We must look at politics like any other sports activity.
Yeah.
You must be able to graciously lose and greet your opponent that has defeated you. However, I've seen in politics, we've got sorry losers.
Mm.
Once they lose or once they've not achieved that particular thing they want, then it's mayhem. They want to destroy others. They want to do all sorts of things. I want to say that if you lost, it's because the people did not want you or it was for other reasons such as rigging or things of that sort.
Yeah.
But naturally, it's because people did not want to vote for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think where we differed or where I decided to say, you know what, the characteristics of AR and my ideology are no longer aligned, is when I started seeing some of these things,
okay.
like the calling of donkeys,
yeah.
And many other things that I would obviously not now like to publicly speak about.
Yeah.
But I left, I've got no bad blood with anyone in AR. Honorable Ampanda and I met him 2 weeks ago or so, we spoke, we casually joked, we have known each other for a very long time. So I've got no issues with him. Honorable Kambala, on the other hand, George is a very good friend of mine. I think in December I went to go visit him. So I still speak to my peers because I, for one, understand that these are the people should one day we or them take over the country. These are the people that you would be have to govern with. These are the people you'd have to work with because they are literally your peers. Mm. They are your age mates.
Yeah.
So there's no running away from that. So I, for one, am one to always ensure that I have got no bad blood with anyone. I do not want to subscribe to that politics where it's politics of backstabbing, it's politics of character assassinations and things of that sort. So I cannot speak on anyone's behalf. I can only speak about what it is that I know.
Okay, fair enough. I'm asking you this question not to speak on behalf of AR, but to speak on your behalf because you were present.
Mm-hmm.
You were part of AR when that was said. And your exit from AR was almost done very quietly. No karatagoma, no drama.
No. What must be understood at the time is that AR was a movement. It was not a political organization. AR only recently became a political organization.
Okay.
So in terms of the movement, I still belong to the AR movement
mm-hmm.
because I still subscribe to some of its ideology and I'll always support
not
it.
Politics.
Not the politics, but to the movement, that cause I'll always remain sympathetic to, especially the one of ensuring that the land is brought back to our people, that we are able to control things such as rent and land prices and housing prices. Those are things that will always remain dear to me.
Okay, let's go now to 2021-2022, when I don't know what brand of wine you started drinking, that you started now, you know, getting, you know, the Chinese especially, you were targeting the Chinese mostly, and forget about black people's companies who also are not paying their people very well, and you are saying nothing about that. So what was that so biased, sympathy?
No. Perhaps let's just clarify and make sure things are crystal clear.
Mm.
So in 2021, after perhaps 2 years of being on the sidelines, I decided to join politics actively. And I did so firstly by joining the Namibia Economic Freedom Fighters, where I became a commissar. And immediately I said to myself, enough now with this politics of just being on social media, speaking a lot.
Before you go on, what is a commissar? Because some of us don't know those terminologies.
A commissar is basically just sort of almost like a commander.
Okay.
But a ground one this time around. So
are those communist?
Those are communist terminologies.
Okay,
yes,
I see.
So it's almost like saying commander, commandante, and things of that sort.
Okay.
So that's where the word emanates from, because mm-hmm. we obviously lean in towards socialism. Because we obviously want a socialist state. So that is when I joined now active politics. Now, immediately once I joined active politics, we started the ground running. And people would say that, one, we target Chinese and we leave out the blacks, but it's not the case. Number one, the Chinese have become so significantly dominant in our country that every third company or every fourth company or every tenth company is Chinese owned. If you look at the major works that go around in terms of road constructions and things of that sort, it's owned by the Chinese. Most of the factories as we speak today are Chinese owned. Most of the mines as we speak today, they are also equally Chinese owned. So it's not to say that we are specifically targeting the Chinese, but unfortunately the Chinese just so happen to have become so dominant to a point whereby they are literally on every corner and they are literally across the country. Now, to give context to what happened in terms of when you're saying we shut down things like Chinatown, I think people easily forget that what had first transpired was that we had an organization called NAMRA, led by Sam Shivute, that publicly came out and said that they banned goods worth 5 million that mainly belonged to this Order With Me people. And I looked at this situation, and as the economic commissar for Namibia Economic Freedom Fighters, I said, why is it that our government is targeting Namibians who are ordering things from China or India or wherever it is, but the Chinese who are currently in the country are being allowed to sell these fake products with impunity? So I saw this as an injustice. And all I merely did was, as an act of protest, I went to Chinatown and said, my fellow Chinese, because my Namibian comrades are not being allowed to sell fake products, you guys are the mothers and fathers of fake things. These products here are fake. You guys must also close until everyone else is able to trade freely. And not just you, because you've got specific preferential treatment or anything of that sort. And that was why we went to go, or that is why I took a decision to go and shut down Chinatown. It's not because I hate the Chinese or anything of the sort. It's just an unfortunate situation that had to happen because of an injustice that had occurred.
Okay, so you went to cause drama at a Chinese shop. You left Sam Shivute alone to drink his coffee freely. You didn't go and cause havoc at his office, since he's the one that created that law that created a karatagoma that ensued between you and the police.
No, so what must be understood is that you must be very strategic. Going to close down the offices of NAMRA would have not sent as much as a strong message as having closed down Chinatown, because this was the first time anyone anywhere in the world attempted and successfully closed down a Chinatown. Remember, Chinatown is not just in Namibia. Chinatown is not unique to Namibia. Go to New York, there's a Chinatown. Go to Chicago, there's a Chinatown. Go in Canada, there's a Chinatown. Chinatowns are everywhere. Go to South Africa, Zambia, Zimbabwe. They are everywhere. But I needed to send a message to say that we are not afraid to touch those who think they are untouchable.
Okay, fair enough. So, then you were an economic commissar, or you are an economic commissar in the economic freedom fight. So you are, because this one is also from SWAPO. These are SWAPO chromosomes. You know, AR, NEFF, RDP, COD, you know, you can name them. They are SWAPO chromosomes. And you think you guys can do, they can be different from your mother when you have her DNA. And some of the things are genetically, you know, inherited.
Yes, I strongly believe that you can be different from your parents.
Okay.
That is why you'll see, and it has been done so many times, where young people come from families where their parents were insignificant in society, their parents had not achieved anything of significance, but these young people have been able to rise and have been able to become much more significant than what their parents were.
Okay.
And that is because what you do not have genetically, a mindset can be able to drastically shift. I do not think there is anything wrong with the current SWAPO as it is. However, what I think is in that has changed in their DNA is the mindset. The mindset is no longer about let us work for the people. The mindset of the current SWAPO, in terms of what I see, is that let us not work for the people, let us work for ourselves. And that is why you are seeing a lot of self-enrichment going on. That is why you are seeing a lot of selfish decisions being taken. And that's because they have forgotten that the primary purpose of them having started that movement was to ensure that justice for all and that the fruits of this country must be enjoyed by every single Namibian. And that is why I can confidently tell you to say, in as much as you come from your mother's house, the failures of your parents are not necessarily your failures.
Yeah, but you can get diabetes from them genetically.
Genetically,
and that cannot be denied. So it could be that you guys have some diabetes from your mother politically. You have some political diabetes, and that's hidden. It will just manifest itself, in one of those congresses when you guys start to fight for positions.
Obviously, like I said, in as much as I'm prophetic, there are certain things that I would not be able to foresee nor have foresight as to what is going to happen.
Mm.
But in terms of what I do know is that some of us genuinely want to see a better Namibia. We genuinely want to see our people economically liberated. And that, unfortunately, is not going to change anytime soon.
Okay, so we are going for a short break. Don't change the dial. We are with the man himself, Malcolm Mshere, the commandant and the commissar. And, you know, these guys, they have different terms that when you mention them, your tongue at the end of the day is tired. But at the end of the day, we are still in the realm of the historics, and today is today.
I get wings to fly. Oh, I'm alive. Yeah.
Well, it's 21 minutes to 3, and of course by 4 o'clock, not 23 minutes rather, to 3, and by 4 o'clock, of course, this program comes to a halt. We are still with the man himself. Now, okay, so after the drama, you seem to have expected, you know, support from the people that you were fighting for. And then you decided, well, there was no support. The ground is too dry. It's getting hot now. Let me hibernate a little bit. And before you hibernated, you made a statement that said, look, I'm no longer going to fight for people that cannot fight for themselves. So what led you to that realization? Or, and, you know, what were you expecting from the people?
You see, I think I understood that Namibians are not yet ready for the type of radical politics.
What do you mean radical politics? You mean vigilantism, dramatic, you know, vigilantism.
Dramatic. You see, when people hear the words radical, they associate it perhaps with rebel movements and things of that sort. But radical simply means it's a faster way of doing things.
But you see, radical and confrontational, it could be that they are mother and daughter. That's why people are, you know, associated with rebel actions.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I understood that we were not yet ready for this type of politics that some of us, because I come from a business world, an entrepreneurship world, where things are fast-paced. Now, when we brought this same fast-paced action, pragmatic steps to politics, the nation was completely not ready for this type of politics. So I understood to say that, let me go back to the drawing boards. What is it that you can still be able to do, still bring about the change you want to bring, but in a manner where our people can be able to grasp what it is that you're trying to do? Because we must be able to understand, Namibians by nature, we are very, very peaceful human beings. When a Namibian becomes angry, you must know that you have done something to anger this particular person. Because by nature, we are very loving people.
Yeah.
We don't like much chaos. We don't like much drama and things of this sort. So I understood that I was living in times way ahead of myself.
So, which means you were stratospheric in your planning and delusional at the same time.
Yes, because
okay, that's a good admission.
What you are trying to achieve and where your people are, it's two different realities. Remember, it takes time for people to understand what it is that you're trying to do. And every generation, there comes a leader who's not understood in that generation. It's only after he's gone, or if they live long enough, that's when eventually they become understood for whatever it is that they're trying to do or to stand up for. So now, obviously, when you retreat and when you hibernate, you do so because you obviously, as an individual, need time to reflect. You need time to re-energize, because it's not easy fighting for justice. It's not easy every day being in court, being locked up. It's not easy. So you must be able to rejuvenate, re-energize, re-strategize, refocus, replan, and also remap in terms of what is it that you would want to achieve. So right now we are underground because it must be understood that at some point this underground is not to say we are no longer active or we're no longer doing anything. It's because planning requires a lot of thought. And thought, unfortunately, requires a lot of silence. I cannot be planning while I'm in a protest. I cannot be planning. That's why I sometimes love going to prison, because I genuinely then have enough time to myself to do a lot of thinking and to do a lot of reflection. However, now I've realized that going to prison is counterproductive in the sense that not only do I lose time, but I also lose valuable resources. So now we must be able to defeat this corrupt system one way or another, but we must be strategic and we must be smart about it. Because sometimes it must be understood that it's not the strongest person that ultimately wins, but it's the person with the smartest move. Because what we are playing is actually a chess game, and I didn't understand this in the beginning. And eventually when I came to the realization, oh, chess is not about being strong. Chess is about being smart, being able to psychologically understand your opponent, and obviously be able to outmaneuver your opponent in such a manner that you are able to defeat them without them realizing that you have actually defeated them.
Okay. But you retreated 3 times. The first time, second, you came back, same result. Except when the third time when you came back, you wanted to burn yourself up, to give yourself a sacrifice to the Namibian. I don't know to which god you were trying to sacrifice yourself to. Now, whether you were serious with what you were trying to do or not, that's another thing. But you wanted to set yourself on fire.
No, not necessarily. I think I'm too smart to set myself on fire.
So what did you do with the fire? What were you trying to do with the fire? I think there was some petrol there, but because I heard that you set up the fire and you ran a little bit of distance.
No. So like I said, when you start to reflect, you start to become strategic.
Mm-hmm.
So let's first make the listener understand the context of this fire.
Yeah.
So this is 2024. And I think 6 months prior, there's a company called Zhongmei Engineering. And I'd publicly reported about their substandard safety and health mechanisms in their workplace. And 6 months later, someone eventually died as a result of these issues not having been responded to. And when this individual died, I said, no, something must be done. We can no longer have innocent people dying just because they want to put bread on the table. Imagine, you, Franz, your work now becomes so dangerous to a point whereby you being in studio is a threat to your life. That's not how it should be. Your work must be a place of a secure and safe environment. So I then went to the Ministry of Labor and I set tires on fire in front of the ministry's offices. And this was symbolic in the sense to say that no other Namibian should die as a result of safety protocols not being adhered to by companies. And then, obviously, being smart enough, I'd gone with 2 5-liters. Mm-hmm. One had petrol.
One is water.
One had water. Now, I strategically poured the water on myself because the heat from the fire was hot. So this water was so that I can be able to come close enough to the fire without the fire doing anything to me.
Okay, so you wanted to create an impression that you are sacrificing yourself for the Namibian people to whatever God we don't know. But yet, instead of pouring yourself the real thing that could ignite the fire, you pour water on yourself.
Yes.
Okay, so was this an attempt to seek for attention? Or to seek for more public approval? What was in your mind?
No. The idea was to say that we cannot have Namibians dying because we've got officials that would rather opt to just be in their offices and not act on matters that are being reported.
Okay.
And as a result of that action, the following day, Zongme Engineering, things came to a halt. They had to adhere to the safety regulations, but it must not take the action of an activist burning tires and doing a symbolic action of trying to seeming like he's burning himself in order for them to react. It should be their daily duty, because that is what these officials are being paid for. We now have officials that just go sit in air-conditioned offices. They do nothing. Members of the public are dying. And in fact, in that particular year, there were so many incidents of work-related deaths. And that's simply because in Namibia, it seems to me, we no longer respect a human being's life. Life has become so cheap that it can be taken and no one feels anything, or it's just like a normal thing.
Mm. Okay. Because that time I was thinking to myself, whatever it is that Amshalela has smoked, it's amazing. Because instead of pouring himself the very petrol, now what? Why did you take the petrol if he didn't use it? You took it there for what?
The petrol I used is the one I used to bend the tires.
But you bent innocent tires that were not part of your. You were supposed to have bent yourself.
No, if I bend myself, then the cause dies there. Because what I've understood is that.
Okay.
The, you see, I've read so many books.
Yeah.
And I've seen so many figures throughout history that the moment they get taken out, everything ceases with them.
Okay.
So that is why I understand for now that it will be premature for us to go out now when we have not yet achieved what it is that we seek to achieve.
Okay. That's fair enough. All right, it's 10 minutes to the hour of 3 o'clock, and we are taking a little bit, I'm going to give you two song items before we continue, and then we are going to the top of our second last hour, and then we'll see how far we can move from there. With Michael Mshelele, I'm still having him here, and I'll open the lines at 3 o'clock, so that if you want to engage him, you can also come through. Daddy, I call your name. Daddy, I call your name. Daddy, I call your name. All right, we are now in here. We are back. It's at the top of the hour, 3 o'clock. We are still moving. So Michael Amshirelo goes to the office, and before that, when he retreated the second time, he came back, and he went to confront the minister Utoni, and he was there, you know, doing what he does best. And he didn't tell the minister that this is not your mother's office. And he's there. So, what makes you lose your temper?
No, I did not.
I mean, how much is your temper anyway?
No, I did not lose my temper. I think.
I mean, to come to the point where you are telling a minister this is not his mother's house.
No, or mother's office. I think. You've gotten it wrong there.
Was that a slip of a tongue?
Not even a slip of a tongue. That was not the minister that I was telling. The minister, I told him, he's useless to his face.
Okay.
And then one of his aides, you know, the people around the minister, obviously, when your minister is being called useless, which is an English word for not being useful, then became angry.
But you can't call an elder useless.
No, useless is an English word, unfortunately.
Yeah, but you see, in a context of an African child, that's an insult.
No, but in the context of politics, unfortunately, you are allowed to be called useless when you are not being useful to the nation. So this was not in the setting where we were at his farm or whatever the case is. I mean, if I was at his house, then obviously I would be in much more respectful. But he's occupying a public office. He's a public servant, so we ought to criticize them when they are not doing what needs to be done. So me calling you useless, Franz, is not an insult. You are just basically not useful to the task that has been given to you. Perhaps if we give you another task, you might become useful to it. But on this particular one, he was useless, and that is why some of us were doing his work for him. Unpaid for that matter. So the individual that I said, it's not his mother's house. This particular individual stood up. He wanted to be very arrogant, and the minister himself was even calm and quiet. So I always wonder, why is it the tea boys and the water boys that want to become so defensive? So I just simply reminded him to say, Chief, relax. It's not your mother's house, this one. So me telling someone to say this is not your mother's house is not an insult. That office is not anyone's mother's house.
You just found him, since he was dealing with water, you just found him maybe having drank a lot of water. If you found
precisely.
Him thirsty, you could have paid for what you, for that wet.
No, irrespective of that, I think it must be understood that when we must move away sometimes from being too soft and too lenient, especially with people who have been entrusted with national duties. You see, when you are in any office, especially a government office, and you are sitting there as a minister, we, the citizens of this country, expect you to execute your duties without any fear or favor. However, what we are seeing is that certain people are favored, certain people are feared, and that is absolutely wrong. The minister acts on certain individuals, but the individuals in his favor, he's fearful to act or take decisive action against them. So unfortunately, I just reminded the minister to say that he must start becoming useful. He cannot just continue being useless. And unfortunately, the meeting did not go ahead as it was scheduled to. And that's where the meeting ended.
Okay, so you did not get results either.
No, it was a... You see, when there's a war, there's always casualties on both sides.
Mm.
So, unfortunately, both sides at the time were not matured enough to say, okay, colleagues, let us go back to the table. Let us discuss the issues. What was the primary purpose of this meeting? It's for us to discuss matters related to labor relations. We had again requested for another meeting. Unfortunately, this time around, the minister was not forthcoming with the meeting. So we were forced, unfortunately, to continue going back to the ground and to continue fighting for workers' issues without the ministry's involvement.
It is good you admit that you were also not matured.
No, you see, the problem is maturity comes from both sides. In situations like that, where it's no longer now a diplomatic situation, it was war. So in war, unfortunately, you cannot fold your hands and expect the other party to just be throwing bombs on you and you just being there, hallelujah, amen. No, in war, you fight back, and especially when it is a matter of individuals trying to discredit your integrity, trying to obviously insult your good work, you don't stand back and just watch people do that. You must be able to defend yourself. Well, so in this case, yeah, I was attacked unprovokedly, and when I defended myself, unfortunately, my missiles were bigger than they could handle. So some of us, we don't start wars, but we know how to finish them.
No, but you went to provoke because your approach was wrong.
No, my approach was not wrong. There's a clip of how the whole story transpired, and it's on, this time around it's not black and white. At least we have color. It's very sound. So I can't say it's on black and white. Mm-hmm. So it's in 3D if I must, or 4D. So anyone can go of sound mind and watch that video, interpret it for themselves, and then see who was the wrong party.
It is in 4K.
4K, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, okay. Because sometimes it's not about what you do, it's how you do it. So the maybe your how was also, since you said you were not matured. I don't know now where your maturity, or I mean where your immaturity start manifest itself.
No. Every day as a human being, I'm maturing. Because who I was yesterday is not who I am today. Who I was 10 minutes ago is not who I am now. Okay. So unless you have stopped learning as an individual, that's the only time that you can obviously cease to be in a progressive mode. So obviously at the time, the idea was to say we want to table the issues that we have seen on the ground, bring them to the minister so that the minister can be able to act on those relevant issues. However, unfortunately, the minister was not forthcoming, and what transpired was a tragedy, because perhaps had issues been resolved in that meeting, some of the issues that we are seeing today would not have been transpiring.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we are still with Michael Amsherelo. If you want to engage him, 083-288-401, that's the number in studio. And I want you to engage him respectively. Any disrespectful conduct, I will have to cut you so that you can talk to yourself. That one is clear. So we want conversation that is respectful, not, you know, if you are too angry or too frustrated to be part of the conversation, then I think I will just give you a prescription that you just drink some water and just, continue listening. But if you want to be part of the conversation, the number is 083-288-401. Now let's talk about, your political zigzag.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems that in 2023, when something happened with NEFF.
2024,
yes. Something happened with NEFF that they were removed from the, list of political parties that are participating in the election. Whether that was a, emotional drama by ECN or whatever it was, that's up to NEFF itself to pronounce itself on that matter. But then you saw that, okay, NEFF river is drying up, and you moved like a raven into into LPM.
Okay.
What made you make because that was not a U-10, that was a V-10.
That's good. Now, 2024, our country was 34 years old.
Okay.
And in our 34 years of democracy, never has a political party been deregistered by the Electoral Commission of Namibia.
So you guys are the first casualty.
However, some of us, because we were perceived to be too radical, and because of this radicalism, there also came popularity with it.
Okay.
We were seen as a threat. And we were of such a threat that the only way that they could defeat us was not on a ballot paper, but was to deregister our political organization.
Wait a minute. You are saying you were a threat.
Yes, we were a threat.
In terms of what? In terms of number or in terms of... Because you can't compare yourself with IPC that has more number than you.
No. Okay,
let's take a call. There's a call here. Yes.
Yes. Good afternoon, France. And are you still Saddam?
Yes, it's still Saddam. I don't know. It's just, you know, the problem is with France, he has not been reading, so he doesn't know that I've changed the name from Michael to Saddam.
I call you. I'm a history person, so I'm still in the past.
Saddam is a hero. So, and I think the sacrifice that you were doing, that attributes to someone being a hero. Yeah. So, but then I thought it was even a repeated program, but thank God there is live, and I listened from the beginning. So I'm very happy to see you once more again, encouraging the young ones, and also taking up that fight. So now, I'll just be rambling them. So from the time when you were now there with SWAPO, and France did ask a point where I think it's the former president, Dr. Hage Geingob, soul rest in peace.
Yes.
But then this is the person that you thought, not necessarily because he's different, he's from a different tribe, but I thought you supported the person because of his caliber, the quality that he has, and perhaps also for the fact that he created those structures that you are now utilizing, the constitution and all those structures in the government. Since he was the one who really set up this administration.
Yes. No.
I believe that those are some of the attributes that really inspired you to continue with that, despite the fact that later on you were no longer satisfied. But the fact that they created the platforms, the structures for you to engage, even the robbing the constitution. That is one point. You want to respond now before I go to the two?
Yes, let me just quickly respond that. Perhaps due to the fact that I did not properly expand in terms of why we supported the late Geingob. Now, you must be understood, or it must be understood, that Geingob was a political player that needs to be studied. Because in 2004, or 2003, I'm not quite sure when was it, when he was demoted.
That was the 26th of August in 2002.
Yes, from being a prime minister to the Ministry of local Housing. But then he said, no, me, I'm not taking this position, I'm going. And his political comeback, it shows you that that is someone who's resilient. Now, where I come from, I support people who have gone through things like that, because I have also experienced them in my personal life, where you are at your highest, then you are thrown at your lowest, but you are still able to rise from your lowest back to your highest. So That also was one of the qualities and characters that I saw in him, to say that if this person could pick himself up, then surely he can also be able to pick up our country from its poverty, inequality. Because remember, the late Gengob was the champion of poverty eradication in our country, which also led to a ministry being created. So all of those things that he was stating and championing at the time, there were obviously things that one could resonate with, because up until today, poverty remains one of our biggest social challenging issues that we have in the country. So perhaps it's just for a lack of expansion, but it's not necessarily to say because he was from a different tribe, but I brought in the element of a different tribe, because this was also the first time in our country that we did have someone from the ruling party that was not traditionally from the Oshuambo tribes or the Oshuambo speaking people. So that also was a factor in terms of his performance. And let us be realistic in this country. You would never be able to win an election without the support of all the tribes in our country. And that is when, as we're having the discussion with France, to say that one day there is going to emerge again a leader who is going to transcend beyond tribal lines, beyond political lines, and the nation would be able to see a leader in this particular individual, and this particular person would still be able to get the same support that the late Gengob had received.
Okay, so with that one, I think I'm satisfied, even though the fact that he is from a different tribe and all these things, I think the quality that he has and all the experience, I think that he surpassed the issue of tribe.
Yes.
But nevertheless, the other issue of the minister, the commotion.
Mm-hmm.
I know as a commissar, you're saying economic commissar, right?
Yes.
As a commissar in general, these are the people who could seriously mobilize for the masses in terms of just to have that strong conviction within them to deal with issues of poverty, like you mentioned, to deal with the issues of injustice and things like that. And that also now led me to the minister of the former minister of labor, that Tony, like France, mentioned also, narrated to that, yes, because you are the one who want to achieve a greater result. Even though I know there are casualties from both sides, but because you were really prepared and you know what are your goals, and you know your aim, so I would have thought that you could have humbled yourself, not necessarily because you want to show some courage. Of course, you can show some courage in terms of negotiation of those issues on the table, but the fact that there were those kind of languages, don't you think that that really put your caliber, your leadership quality, and your way of achieving your goal? Yeah, because I know that meeting could not have ended if there were no those kind of languages. Even maybe they are not, insulted, so to say, but the platform where you are, don't you think you could have demonstrated some higher quality of leadership and managed that situation more efficiently, appropriately, to achieve your goal? Because there was nothing that was achieved there. But I understand even the demonstration of the water and the oil, that one was fine. You could really raise your concern, your grievances, and things like that. But then I concluded with other areas. There was a time I saw the colleague, your comrades, at the Shakati here, demonstrating and the president in front of the Chinese. I would have thought that maybe there is, of course, our people are being exploited in many, many areas. But I could have thought that you as a negotiator of this caliber, of this, especially this time around, you could have gone to the management and see, look guys, you are getting this amount of money as profit, but these people are getting this, and negotiate on those issues, could be medical, could be whatever, salary increase. So the kind of approach that we are seeing, is that really sustainable?
All right, Uncle Bana, I think
thank you very much.
You've made your point. Let's see if others can come in also.
Okay, sir.
Right. Okay, so no,
that's good.
Can respond to you. Yes.
No, Uncle Bona is correct in the sense to say that we did not obviously achieve our goals that we wanted to achieve in that particular meeting with the Minister of Labor. And it must also be understood that our intentions were obviously for the issues to be resolved, but in as much as those particular issues were not raised there, we were still able to go and raise them on other platforms, and we're also still able to make significant changes in certain sectors without necessarily the intervention of the line minister. However, he is right in to say that sometimes you must be able to humble yourself, but I've seen it that in many a times, even in as much as you humble yourself, if the next, the party that you are in front of has no humility, has no sense of understanding the gravity of the situation, then you are simply sitting with a rock, and no matter how much you preach to this particular rock, there is no thing that you can preach of sense to this particular rock. So unfortunately, we had a minister who in his dynamics was one who was not willing to say, okay, I am a minister here, I am in fact the elder here, let me be an elder and let me obviously be the one to be responsible and mature.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, in terms of why is it that we always choose confrontation? Mm. It must be understood that we never choose confrontation. Unfortunately, perhaps because of our repertoire, whenever it is that we come to an office where we merely seek to engage management, the problem is that management is so arrogant that they refuse to see you even when your only purpose was to come there and seek audience to perhaps schedule a meeting. They will blatantly refuse you to enter their premises. Now, when someone does that, unfortunately, we are then forced to go to the radicalism where the shop is closed in order to force management to come out and negotiate with us to say, okay, colleagues, in order for us for this shop to be opened, what is it that must be done?
Okay.
Then that is when we go into the boardrooms and we are able to negotiate.
Is it also correct to say that you young people also, you saw purple and expect to reap, you know, apples, which means that your approach is arrogant from the start, and you expect somebody to humbly come to you when you are already fired up?
No, we are never fired up. Ask anyone who has engaged with me, and I've engaged with several companies. In fact, most of the company owners, eventually when they sit down with me, they're actually amazed to say, oh, are you this smart? Are you this intelligent? I didn't even know some of these issues were happening in my company. And I think the problem is that when you judge someone based off what other people say, you are going to meet the wrong France. Because when you meet France, the one that you heard from Tate Bwana, he's not the same individual that you are going to encounter. Because what you and Tate Bwana exchanged, perhaps because due to his level of thinking and things of that sort, he perceives you in a particular way.
Yeah.
Now, his perception is what he then goes around to tell people to say, hey, be careful when that guy comes there with that carrot head. Hey, he's a danger to society. He's all of these things. So by the time you get there, the people are shaking already.
Mm.
They are the ones who are scared. And by virtue of that, they are the ones who then start treating you in a particular manner.
Okay. Okay, so now we are now talking about, we were talking about how you went, you left to, from NEFF to LPM.
Yes.
Was that a political born again? Were you trying to be politically born again? Or what was going on in your mind?
No. Like I said, Franz, after 34 years of independence, for the first time, we saw in the history of our country a political entity being deregistered. It has never been done before. Now, why was this particular organization being deregistered? It is because this particular organization that stood up not only for the workers, it stood with the poor, it stood with the downtrodden, it stood with students, because we led student protests where we were demanding fees to fall and all of these things. Our popularity had grown to a point where we were going to get significant seats in the National Assembly had it not been for the deregistration.
Okay. So, okay, fair enough, because indeed the deregistration happened and deprived you of that opportunity. We would have known whether what you are saying is true or not, but that was not given the benefit of the doubt.
Yes.
That's a fair conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to tell me that you guys were popular than IPC, which is the second largest party in Namibia.
If we have to compare popularity, on what measurements do we compare popularity? It's based on numbers.
Okay.
Now, if we have to look at the numbers, as a member of the Namibia Economic Freedom Fighters, I'm one of the most followed individuals in this country.
Okay.
On my Facebook page alone, I currently sit with 308,000 followers. That is popularity.
Okay.
Now, people who go into elections, they are not ignorant of these realities.
Yeah.
And we must be able to understand, like soccer clubs, they are supported based of one single player and not always necessarily the team. That is why you would look at a player like Cristiano Ronaldo. When he goes to Juventus, everyone becomes a Juve fan. When he goes to Manchester, everyone becomes a Manchester fan. When he's at Bernabeu, Real Madrid, everyone is a Real Madrid fan. Now I see yellow shirts. I don't know how to pronounce the name, but I see yellow shirts in our country literally every other day.
Yeah.
That is what you call influence.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you become influential in society and you become so influential, things are going to be done to derail whatever movement you are part of.
So you want to assert that others are not as influential as you are. That's why they are kept there. That's why ECN doesn't see them as a threat.
No, others must be understood to say that they can still work together and be able to compromise with others. That is why they are left to be where they are.
Okay.
Some of us, we are not compromising in our principles. Some of us, we are not compromising in our convictions. And that is why we are deemed as a threat, because we are there to challenge the status quo and genuinely want the status quo to be changed. Some just speak about it, but they are not about what it is that they speak about. When I say tomorrow I'm coming to close down Eagle FM, it's not a figurative speech. It's not some political statement. You know for a fact that it's the reality. So that is perhaps why some of us have become so feared to an extent that others go to the extent of deregistering a political party because of a single individual.
Okay. So you didn't answer me how you call your V10 from, because that's not a reverse.
No. The V10, for you to understand it now, remember, the organization suffered as a casualty as a result of me.
Okay.
So what we had to do now, because had I not joined another political movement, then this particular organization would have still been deemed a threat.
Okay.
So while I'm this side, and you must now be able to understand that you cannot just join now this other organization and just be there sitting around. So to convince your enemy that you have now fully joined this particular entity so that they can now leave your house. You see, when there are thieves at your house and you go and seek refuge at your neighbors, your house are, the thieves are no longer going to focus on your house. They are going to focus on whose house? The neighbor's house, which gives you enough time to build a tunnel in order for you to come back into your house and then reinforce your house, make sure your house is now armored proof, and make sure that thieves are no longer able to come into your house. So that is what we merely went to do. We merely went to go seek refuge at the Landless People's Movement, and we are forever grateful for the refuge that they gave to us. And eventually, when we won our court case and we defeated ECN in court, and our party was again fully registered, I went back home. So sometimes you must be able to be strategic about your aims and your goals. And once the objective of the party being re-registered was achieved, that is when we went back home. But unfortunately, the damage was already done.
Okay, so it was a tactical political maneuver.
Yes.
For you to become a political refugee.
Yes. I like the way you put it. I see I must come and borrow words from you. Tactical. Sounds like you're in the military. Because only military people use words like tactical.
So how, you see, because there's a difference between a tactical victory and strategic victory. So it seems you didn't have a strategy. Or maybe it was too late for you to act. That made you get only one seat. Was it lack of strategy or it was lack of time? By the time you were re-registered, you didn't have enough time to campaign.
Remember, the political party was re-registered in October. I think late October, if I'm not mistaken. So,
and the elections
were already in November. So it would take a miracle for you to obviously gain up in what you have lost already.
So it was tactic upon tactic. You know, ECN won tactically. You won, how do we call it? You won in court.
Yeah, we won in court, but then obviously the damage was done already because the house was burned down. Now, for us to rebuild the house in less than a month and still be able to ensure that that house was in time to still run an election, I think we have done very well, because despite everything that we have gone through, we were still able to manage to secure a seat. In as much as that seat might seem of insignificance, it still shows that we had not given up and we are still in the game. And it's just a matter of time before we are able to show what it is that we are truly capable of.
Okay, but you failed to show your capability during the local elections. Even in your stronghold, in Akshakati and Oshikuko area, you failed to get anywhere.
Not necessarily. I think we must not be able to mistake the fact that we did not get the votes as we sort of have wanted them.
Hmm.
Now, one thing that must be understood is that perhaps for a lack of understanding from most of our people, because I was at the ballot station myself. Number one, the lines were long. I don't know why the process was so cumbersome. Number two, people were expecting me in the Windhoek local authority to see my face, but not knowing that on local authority ballot papers, it is the faces of the political heads that appear there. So when people got into those ballot booths, when they scanned and scanned and scanned and did not see my face, they assumed, oh, yes, I'm sure okay, it's not on the ballot paper. So by virtue of that, they felt, I cannot vote. or I'll rather vote for an alternative because the individual that I'm looking for is not there. And in the other areas that we did not do well is because due to the process of how ECN was doing these online submissions and things of this sort, we were unable to register in certain local authorities, and that is why we were unable to achieve certain results.
You lacked a tactical means to convince your voters by putting by allowing an unpopular, you know, face to be on a ballot paper. That was a tactical, you know, a tactical fall on your side.
Not necessarily. I mean, there are protocols to how things are done. Perhaps we must be able to start challenging some of these things at ECN and saying to say, no, if it's a local authority election, obviously you cannot put all 15 councillors in the case of Windhoek on a ballot paper.
Yeah.
It's not going to work. So perhaps, obviously, we need to do more groundwork in terms of educating our supporters, our sympathizers, our people, in terms of what is it that they need to do when they come to the ballot box, what is it that they need to look for. And perhaps that, obviously, it's all learning lessons. And the more you learn, the more you fail, the more you eventually be able to succeed as a result of the failures that you have encountered in the past. So all of this, we have taken it as learning steps. And we definitely look to the future with optimism. We certainly know that the future is bright for the Namibia Economic Freedom Fighters. So we most certainly know that sooner or later, we will eventually achieve our goals, not only tactically, but strategically.
All right. Let's go for a short musical break, and we'll be right back to, you know, get our final, you know, conversation on this, and then we call it a day for this week.
Si vivanda, ma si va qui, 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 territory. Frost Negra.
So we are here. So we are now with Michael Amshelelo and I remember in 2024 when Boko Duma won, most of you guys were hopeful that okay, SWAPO will go down. What happened?
I must congratulate Botswana. Not only do they have strong institutions, but those institutions are independent. And that is why we're able to see a transition from the ruling party giving over power to an opposition. However, in our case, I've never seen or witnessed chaotic elections. The first time I voted was in 2009. But I've never seen a more chaotic vote than the one we had in 2024 that lasted almost for close to 2 weeks. Remember, we voted for close to 2 weeks where certain voting stations were opened, then others get specially opened. Then we had printed many ballot papers, but then they got finished. So we had the most chaotic elections.
Well, because you chaotically stood against the electronic voting machines, which saw the 2019 elections more smooth.
Not necessarily. I think what must be understood is that these things were engineered to be chaotic, because it's in the chaos where you are able to rig. It's in the chaos where you are able to sow confusion. And it's in the chaos where thieves usually steal. Because when an environment is calm, you do not steal in a calm environment. But in a chaotic one, because everyone, when you are looking that side, then this side things are happening. By the time you open your eyes, then things have already happened.
Okay, so you remind me of a story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we were young, we used to go to our grandmother's house.
Yes.
So, and that was a time where, you know, people used to receive this drought relief, massive, you know, massive drought relief food.
Mm-hmm.
There were these six bags of, you know, mealy meal, but it was made for porridge, you know, which has sugar, milk, and salt all together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my aunt used to bake some, you know, cookies out of those things. You know, she puts that flour in water, and then she makes cookies. Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
We want our aunt to give us. It was in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And now, as the children, we are insisting. The aunt is trying to ignore this. We are insisting. So my grandmother came in, and she said, "How could you be hard-hearted that you can allow children to be crying around you, and you have food you are not giving to children?" And then chaos started between my aunt and my grandmother. So while they were quarreling there and they're fighting there.
You guys.
And you see what helped us was the chickens. Also two chickens, I don't know what happened. They also started look like an uproar. So one chicken flew to where that basket was hanged.
Yes.
And then the basket fell down.
Mm-hmm.
So while my grandmother and my aunt were arguing there, we were picking the things and eating.
Yes.
By the time order was restored, The cookies were nowhere to be found. They were in our stomachs. So I think it seems then that seems that you guys have no mechanism to steal or what?
Not necessarily. What must be understood is that individuals who have been in power, and they've been in power for that long, power is something sweet.
Okay.
You know, when you have people who grab your chair, when you have people who carry your bags, when you have got roads that open up for you just so that you can specially be able to be on that road alone, things like that you don't let go of easily. When you've got the purse of the country, you don't go of those things easily. So you do anything and anything necessary to retain that particular political power that you have. And unfortunately, this is a playbook that we have seen play across many African countries. And it's a sad story that we are also witnessing it here in our country.
Yeah, but you challenged elections twice. Not even twice. I think there was in 2010, immediately after the elections, I think it was in December when we started to hear that elections were rigged.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2010, I remember parties like
RDP,
NUDO, you know, DTA by then, COD, and so forth, decided they were not going to parliament.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said elections were rigged, and they went to court. The results, of course, were delivered in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
court from 2010. The elections, I mean the High Court, the Supreme Court took 2 years to release the
judgment.
The judgment. Yes. I remember in 2012 sitting on TV listening to the judgment. I think it was December 2012, if I'm not mistaken. But then immediately, around January there, when, because February was supposed to be, you know, the opening of parliament,
mm-hmm.
you know, opposition parties started fighting against their own, boycott.
Mm-hmm.
Some opposition started working to say they are going to parliament. They are going to parliament, including RDP.
Mm-hmm.
So that emotional reaction from you guys, whether it is tactical or strategic, we don't know, but it seems to help SWAPO stay in power longer, because you are also not organized. You don't have a voice. You don't have one voice.
That is in part correct, but like I said, when you have got independent institutions, all of these things can be avoided. Today, these guys know that they can rig elections with impunity, because when we run to our last source of hope, which is usually the courts, they know for a fact that they also control the institutions of our courts. So it's like running from the devil, going to report him to Satan, yeah. Then running back from Satan, going to report him to Lucifer, and then from Lucifer, you go again to
a demon.
You just continue reporting him to the same person. So unfortunately, we must be able to have stronger independent institutions. And this is how most nations usually fail. When the institutions are no longer able to safeguard the constitution, but are safeguarding the interest of, individuals or certain political organizations.
Okay, so I remember in the presidential debate, I don't think your party was represented, because by that time it was deregistered. But I picked up something when we asked, you know, political parties that were there, that should what happened in South Africa happen in Namibia, where, you know, maybe SWAPO wins, but not with the majority, that not a win to say maybe SWAPO had, you know, 45%. I mean, no one got, you know, the percentage to be able to rule alone. Would you agree to be in a coalition? You know, some say yes, some says no. And that shows that you as opposition, in as much as you hope for SWAPO to be off, I don't know who is going to move him out. I don't know who is going to move SWAPO out if you in your own camp are divided.
But one thing must be understood about the setup of our politics. In South Africa, a president is not voted.
Okay.
What happens is that parties run to become members of parliament, then obviously the political party with the majority vote then votes in parliament who gets to become president. Now, in our case, it's completely different, because a president can be run independent or through a political organization, and should you not achieve that 51%, then there's what we call runoffs.
Yes.
So in our case, it's completely different. The only time where political parties are forced to work together is in the current situation in parliament.
Local, and also local, in parliament. Yes.
Where a law needs to be passed, but because no one has an outright majority, you are now forced to obviously come together and vote on a particular issue that is in the interest of the nation. And that is why we are now seeing a dysfunctional parliament, because there is no outright majority.
Mm-hmm. All right, fair enough, which means anybody that was hoping for what happened in South Africa to happen in Namibia, your hope is gone.
Unfortunately, we do not have the same political
system. Because we don't have the same political system. That's fair enough. Now, Amshelelo, what will your last words be? Because our time is gone.
No, my last words, seeing that this is a historic channel where we obviously delve into the realms of things.
Mm.
I think what is important as a country is that we as individuals must be able to take a moment of self-reflection and be able to, number one, understand who you are. What is it that you seek and desire for yourself? And what is it that you seek and desire for your country? Because the moment you yourself are lost, then anything else around you also feels lost. You no longer have a sense of purpose. You no longer see value in anything. And obviously, it's a thing where you just wake up every day and you are no longer hopeful because you have also lost hope. Mm. So I think our society can still be turned around. But however, it's going to take a determined people that understand that we must move away from being selfish. We must move away from only thinking about ourselves, thinking about your family. And we must become selfless in the sense that you must be able to willing to sacrifice yourself for the greater good of society and for the greater good of your community. So with those few words, I'd like to thank our listeners for tuning in. It's been a long time. I think it's been 2 or 3 years that I've not been on radio. So I'm glad I had this opportunity to obviously engage with you, Tate Frans. And I most certainly look forward to us having more of these conversations in order for us to obviously learn from one another and obviously be able to sharpen one another, because iron sharpens iron. And I truly believe that we can only become a great nation if we all sharpen each other. Thank you.
Right. Michael Amshelelo, thank you very much for being with us here. And of course, everyone else that tuned in, thank you very much. This has been the Realm of the Historics with me, Frans Nangela, the only reliable kinetic energy in town, that, and of course, the prince of all airwaves. Now I leave you into the hands of Tateka Uluma in the north with Omaeli. And we are landing. We are landing very soon. I don't know. There is no way we can go without without, you know, that landing song of us. Okay. So once you hear that melody, it is either we are starting or finishing. Goodbye.